And now it's time to chat to Anetsi. And today we're talking about lifestyle diseases in our nutrition chat with Anetsi. Anetsi, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Wayne.
And as I alluded, we're talking about lifestyle diseases. And they're sort of, it's things that go wrong with your body based on what you probably didn't do or you were doing that was wrong, like, yeah, you know, incorrect diets, not enough exercise, etc., etc.
Yes. So lifestyle is exactly what it says. So there's many diseases that develop because of a certain lifestyle pattern. So if we think about how advanced medical care has become, we've got antibiotics, we've got certain surgical procedures. There's so many things that you can manage diseases with. Mm-hmm. But despite of all of that, unfortunately, there's a little bit of an epidemic which is called the diseases of lifestyle. And I think we have to understand what it really is and what causes it. So so this is really a chronic disease, and it develops primarily as a result of the way we live. So unlike an infectious disease, for instance, that can be caused by bacteria or a virus or a parasite, a lifestyle disease is nothing like that. It really gradually over years, because of unhealthy habits or environmental factors, that's why people develop them. And if we look just at some examples, obviously number one would be obesity, even things like type 2 diabetes, simple thing like high blood pressure. I always say high blood pressure is, if you have that, then you definitely have to review your lifestyle, because that is sort of your first warning that there's something coming your way, if I can put it like that. Then heart diseases, even strokes, some cancers, not all, lung diseases, especially if we think about environmental factors, for instance, fatty liver, osteoporosis, even some kidney diseases can be caused because of a lifestyle. And I think you would want to, but why now suddenly all of these things, you know? I think it's just because the if you think about generations back, people were way more physically active. We could walk long distances. There were lots of manual labor. And also we didn't really have too much unprocessed food. But unfortunately, in today's lives, we don't walk to work anymore. People spend hours sitting at desks, driving cars, maybe watching television. And even obviously with phones, you became way more non-active than before. And then also with time, all the processed food that is rich in sugar and salt and lots of unhealthy fats, they became obviously very available and also quite affordable if you think about it. And then this in conjunction with a sedentary type of lifestyle is really, really not a good idea. So that's sort of how it happens. And I also think that we have to understand that the science behind it is that a lifestyle disease, our body needs, is based on our daily choices. So our body is basically designed to be in a state of homeostasis, which is sort of in a balance. But when we obviously consistently makes unhealthy choices, our body's system becomes very overwhelmed, and then it sort of malfunction. And the very first thing that then happen is chronic inflammation. So generally, inflammation can have a protective effect to our body. For instance, if you cut your finger, there's a little bit of blood, the body will send some cells to repair that sort of damage. But if we look at our lifestyle in terms of diet, maybe being overweight, smoking, stress, inactivity, all of that really causes a low grade of inflammation. And then throughout the years, it's just have a snowball effect. Then eventually it can become symptomatic.
Okay, so it's something that doesn't happen immediately. It develops over time.
Yes, and that's really why it's called a lifestyle, because if you think about it, because of the fact that there's a long time frame linked to it, even if we think about type 2 diabetes, if we think about secondary complications of that, which is microvascular damage, that doesn't happen like this week or next week.
Mm.
But if you've got uncontrolled blood glucose levels for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, then, and it's different for every single human being. Some people have effects after 5. Some people are lucky and it only happened after 15 years. But you can expect the secondary complication because of uncontrolled diabetes over time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one example. And then, so if we think about overweight, generally what happens is the mechanism is sort of insulin resistant. So your insulin is a hormone that's produced by your pancreas. And generally the job is to move the glucose or sugar from the bloodstream into the cells where the body can utilize it as energy.
Mm-hmm.
But when people consume excessive amounts of sugar and refined carbohydrates, unfortunately, those cells become less responsive to insulin, and the pancreas can produce more and more to compensate. And eventually blood sugar levels will rise and you will find yourself in a pre-diabetic or ultimately a type 2 diabetes scenario.
Mm.
And then if this is not controlled, that's then when we will get those microvascular damage that I mentioned for eyes and kidneys, your nervous system and blood vessels. And then the other thing that happens because of the stress responses to our bodies, I've mentioned oxidative stress. So that's when the body constantly produces sort of unstable molecules, which we call free radicals.
Mm.
And I always joke and say we need a vacuum to vacuum them up. And that's sort of your antioxidants that we have. But unfortunately, antioxidants then comes with a good diet. If you don't have a good diet and you've got all of these free radicals, it's a little bit of a catch-22 situation. And then I think in today's life also pollution, like stuff that we don't have control over, maybe your working environment, the pollution around you, all of these things, and then also stress, which everybody, it's just increasing on a daily basis, all of that will increase the free radical production in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So then when free radicals overwhelm the body's defenses, that's really when your oxidative stress occurs, and then this damages cells and DNA, and that contributes sort of to aging, cancer, cardiovascular diseases, and even some neurodegenerative diseases.
Okay.
And then I think one of the things that is way more manageable, if we have a look at lifestyle, is diet. So an unhealthy diet is probably that determines our health. So if we have excess sugar, refined carbohydrates, lots of saturated fat, trans fat, excess salt, ultra processed food. So if that is what your daily consumption look like, that's really not what we want, because all of these excessive calories are then stored as fat, and especially around our abdominal organs. Although there's always a little bit of fat around your organ for protection, too much of this is obviously not a good idea. So this visceral fat then sort of can be metabolically active and produce inflammatory sort of cytokines, which we don't want.
Okay.
Because that then will create your insulin resistance, your high cholesterol, your high blood pressure, and the damage to our blood vessels that we don't necessarily want. And that increases all of these risks in terms of our lifestyle diseases. The other thing that's got a major contribution to this is physical inactivity. Mm-hmm. And I know many people don't like exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, this is something that we have to do, even if we walk 30 minutes, or ideally you want to sort of do that 10,000 steps type of environment. Mm-hmm. But you need regular physical activity because it improves your health It strengthens our muscle and our bone. It regulates blood sugar levels. It's very important for our mental health, and then obviously weight, because otherwise you will just be in that snowball effect of gaining weight, being inactive, making the wrong food choices, and it's really, really not a good idea. So obviously, things like many people have desk-based occupations. Some people really work long hours. Maybe you, the potato couch that watch a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm.
People use computers. We've got smartphones. So all of that is contributors to being inactive, because we utilize our time by doing other things, which we think is productive, but it's not necessarily productive at all.
Okay. So, sorry to interrupt there, just on a question of exercise. And, you know, people, you get into gymming and all that. A lot of people, you know, I've got this routine of going to gym, and a lot of people don't. But as you said, you know, even a half an hour walk does constitute exercise. And maybe if it's a brisk walk, you get the heart pumping a little bit. You are ticking the boxes, and just make sure that you do it often enough.
Yes, definitely. So, I mean, a minimum aim would be 30 minutes, but I always suggest that if you are somebody that works in an office, just to go out in your lunch time, whether it's 30 minutes, 45, maybe you are fortunate enough to have an hour, then even if you just walk around the block slowly, you know, because obviously you are at the office, you don't want to sweat, but utilize that time to go out and actually walk outside if it's possible, instead of just sitting in the tea room, having your lunch, scrolling on your phone, things like that. So that will make a huge difference for somebody that maybe doesn't have the luxury of time otherwise to actually go and exercise because of family responsibilities and all of those things. But then utilize your free time that you get at work just to go outside and walk a little bit.
Right. So that makes sense. And, you know, just looking at, you know, some people don't like the gym, the whole gym experience. So
yes,
take the dog to the beach and go for a run, go for a walk on the beach. You know, luckily in our area, you know, in the East London area, we've got safe beaches where you can do just that.
Yeah, and if we look at the scientific effect behind physical activity, it actually reduces the insulin sensitivity, obviously lowers your energy expenditure, and it will help with preservation of lean body mass and also decrease your fat accumulation and increase your cardiovascular fitness. So, yeah, I say lower energy expenditure, but I actually meant increase in your energy expenditure so that you can burn off some of those calories that we consume on a daily basis.
Right.
And then the one other thing is smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And as I read smoking, when I prepared for this and I read smoking, I sort of also thought I should actually look at what is the inflammatory response in regards to vaping, because we all know smoking is very harmful, and there's thousands of harmful chemicals which damages the lungs and the blood vessels, your heart and your immune system. But in terms of, because many people swap smoking for vaping, but we also know there's some negative connotations there. So, but maybe for another topic, I can speak about that. But obviously, smoking is also increases your risks of oxidative stress. And then they talk about excessive alcohol consumption, obviously would increase your liver damage, can raise your blood pressure, obviously some obesity, mental disorders, and then obviously long-term alcohol abuse will have organ sort of system damage. And then the biggest thing I think for everybody out there is something which is called chronic stress. So this is unfortunately something that we have to learn to manage. Because when we are stressed, the body releases hormones such as cortisol and adrenaline, which normally should be used when you are really in a harmful situation, sort of that fight and flight response. Because of the pressure and the stress, it's almost like the body is constantly in fight and flight. There's an overproduction of cortisol, which we all know is not a good hormone. And also obviously the adrenaline that goes with it. So the chronic stress will definitely lead to blood pressure, high blood pressure. If you think about sleep disturbances, it's almost a little bit weird because you work so hard and you are so stressy. You think, oh, well, I will sleep well. But unfortunately, it's got the negative, the opposite effect. So you actually have sleep disturbances because of your high stress levels. People will gain weight because of the cortisol production. Even if you almost eat nothing and you really exercise, but if there's excess cortisol in your body, it's really hard to lose weight. So very important to look at that, because obviously all of these things can lead to symptoms of depression, anxiety. So we really, really have to learn to manage our stress levels. And then something that is not supposed to be a luxury but an absolute necessity is good sleep. So that's where our body recover. And if we look what we need about 7 to 9 hours of sleep per 24-hour cycle. And what happens if we don't sleep enough is there's different hormones that get affected. Also, your immune function is suppressed. Your appetite will increase because your body is trying to compensate to make the body recover. So you will feel that you are always more hungry. You crave all the sweet stuff. All the negative things happen in terms of what you want to eat and drink when you are tired, because your body wants energy to try and recover itself. So, and it's very hard to control your blood glucose levels because you are sort of fighting against sleep deprivation. And then what the hormone that increase in terms of if we don't sleep enough is leptin, and that is the hormone that regulates fullness. If you battle with weight, we actually need a good amount of leptin that can create the feeling of fullness so that you don't want to eat all the time. And if we don't sleep enough, this hormone, we don't have enough of this. Therefore, we will eat more. So you can really see that sleep is also very important in terms of weight and just in terms of general health.
Okay. So and sleep, just a question on sleep quickly. You said in a 24-hour cycle. So would that mean that, let's say, you maybe get 7 hours a night sleep and you maybe have a half-hour power nap in the daytime? Is that sort of considered part of the sleep cycle? Or is it just your nighttime sleep? You go to bed, you sleep, and you wake up.
Yes, I think more the thing that will have the most effect is really
continuous sleep
so that you can really get into deep sleep where your body is recovering, because in some other levels of sleep, it's not necessarily the space where your body recovers. So you need to be in a deep sleep for your body to recover. But I presume something like a power nap will definitely have a positive effect. And then I think I lastly should say that people always said, oh, yeah, but my mother or my grandmother was obese or had this or this or that. So it's not genetic necessarily. Genetic may increase your susceptibility to a lifestyle disease, but that's not the determining factor. So you can actually stop that by making good choices for yourself. So I really think you should look at the way of living of that specific person which you are referring to and not take that on for yourself, because that is really a lie. You do have the power and the means to change your habits and choose healthy lifestyles so that you can prevent diseases of the lifestyle and also educate your children so that you do not make it a generational thing. It's really important that people realize that you can change it. It might be a little bit harder for you than the person next to you because of a genetic predisposition, but that does not define the body you need to live in.
Right.
And we can really make those choices and change it all around. I think we need to know that it's not like all doom and gloom. We can really, really change diseases of lifestyle by making good choices. And it's simple things, by eating a balanced lifestyle, cooking your own food, going back to basics, fruits, vegetables, whole food, obviously exercise, and watch your weight. It's a very simple tool to use to prevent all of this. You don't really want a BMI above 25. I'm not talking about people in gym at all, because that works totally different, because they've got lean body mass and that's another ball game. But for the average person out there, BMI is a good guideline to guide you, because if your BMI goes higher than 25, 26, 27, you will see an increase in blood pressure, a little bit of cholesterol, then insulin resistance, then type 2 diabetes. So just go back to basics and double check your weight and make sure that you at least have a BMI of 25, conservatively speaking. Things that I've mentioned, obviously, maybe try stop smoking. If you really have a stressful lifestyle, try and make time to take sort of meditation moments, moments, walk on the beach or chill out, whatever you need to do, try and do that. And you know, one thing that is, I think it's a good tool for somebody that's really in a stressful work environment, is just to make time to chat to a friend. That's probably the best thing that you can do, because it makes you relax. Maybe you laugh a little bit, and that's a very good stress relief. So use people around you as friends and family so that you can debrief and spend some time with them and just relax. So all of these small things over time will make a difference. Say you are suffering of one of these things. Over time, you can reverse all of this by making good choices. So it's not the end of the world. It's definitely something that you can change around, and something that I don't think we should. Well, if you feel depressed about it, the good news is that you can stop feeling depressed about it and making some good choices for yourself. So that you can be active and be healthy again.
And just to, as you say, it boils down to choices at the end of the day. And, working it in with your lifestyle, your current lifestyle, which is work and all the other commitments, I suppose, it's a big process that one needs to go through.
Yes, and I think it's important to remember that our health is not determined by a single meal, but or a single exercise session, or something. I'm doing something good today, but it's a result of choices we make consistently over time. So being consistent with good choices, that's really where the secret lies. If you fail today, it's not the end of the world. Just carry on tomorrow and try again. And every single day, you will do better than the previous day. And I think people shouldn't be discouraged and feel that, oh, I failed today, so this is a worthless exercise. It's not a worthless exercise. Every single day, the good choice that you make will make a difference over time. And that's what we have to remember when it comes to lifestyle diseases.
And I think that should be the message that we'll leave for our listeners today. Nitsi, thank you very, very much.
Yes.
And wants to get in touch with you, maybe they've decided, wow, I need to make changes, I need somebody to guide me along the way, how do they get in touch with you?
more than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at Unetsi.
Unetsi, thank you very much. Have a good week, and we look forward to chatting again next week, Thursday.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
Thank you then.